Well, it's a great privilege for me to be here. It's good to see some familiar faces. You're all friendly faces, at least, so it's good to see familiar faces. I bring greetings from Brackenhurst Baptist Church. Know that we pray for your church regularly, and it's a joy to have a partnership with you guys, and a wonderful opportunity to share God's gospel with you today. Let me encourage you to open. We're going to read from Acts. We're going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to specifically focus on verses 26 to 40 this morning. Acts 8. It reads, "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many who heard them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the power of God that is called great.' And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus, our Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw what the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the goal of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.' And Simon answered, 'Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me.' Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation, his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let us pray. Oh God, what a joy it is now to sit under your word. Holy Spirit, we pray and plead with you that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you would turn our ears into eyes, that when we hear the word, that we would see Jesus. We plead with you that you would move among us, save those that are lost, bring them in, and encourage those who are saved to preach the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think all of us can identify with this scene. Either you were part of this, or you've seen it on a movie. There's a great mass of people gathering, and this mass chooses two people. Two people to be captains of whatever you play. Let's say soccer. And the guy on the left, he says, I'll go first. And he says, oh, you can be on my team. Guy on the right, it's his turn. You say, okay, you can be in my team. And the guy on the left again, oh, you can be in my team. And the guy on the right is like, you can be on my team. And so it goes on until only one person stays left behind. Sulking, as always, not part of a team, and he's excluded. Until one of the captains, with simple words, come to the guy and say, I choose you. You can be in my team. And by these small words, changes this one individual's life by being included. And we see something similar in our passage today. Before our passage opens, Philip is experiencing this magnificent ministry boom. I mean, magic, demons crying out, people falling over, people getting saved and baptized. I mean, it's glorious kingdom work. And Philip is in the midst of this. Yet, the Holy Spirit then comes to Philip and he says, you go to this desert place, which just means lonely place, no people, to this one person. Why? To share the gospel. For this one person to be included in the kingdom. So through Philip's humble obedience, he ends up interacting with this unique outcast of a man to bring him in to God's people. So I want us to look at how simply sharing the word of God, as we saw in the whole chapter 8, leads to this magnificent fruit as God brings people into his kingdom. Let's look at verse 26. We see the angel of the Lord. Now, Philip is in Samaria. Ministry boom, people getting saved. He preaches, more people getting saved, magicians, all of that kind of stuff. And he says, Philip, go. No disobedience. Philip gets up and he goes by the guidance of the Holy Spirit to this dusty road, to this lonely place. Philip goes and he meets this unique individual. We need to appreciate Philip's reaction here. No complaining. The Spirit says, go, and he goes. Simple as that. No complaining. He leaves the hustle and the bustle in ministry from that place to another place. He was there to meet a unique man at a unique time. A man from Ethiopia. A man with importance. I mean, he was at the service of the queen of Ethiopia. He was the overseer of her treasures. which means back at home, he was a dignitary, a man of high repute. Everybody looked up to him, overseeing all the treasures. Philip was told to go to that one man, that specific chariot, to engage with this man. Now, Philip goes and he runs and he gets to this chariot. Well, humanly speaking, you would think, oof, I mean, that's a kind of a demotion, wouldn't you think? I mean, look at the church. It's bursting at its seams. We need to break down walls and extend the building and carry in more chairs. And now it's, I need to go to one person? Really? That's kind of a demotion, right? Not for Philip. Philip sees this as a promotion. How does God use me to one person? This must be a very special person that the Almighty God chooses this one person to be saved. Philip realizes that this carries kingdom significance. Eternal significance is not measured by numbers, but by saved souls. Brother, sister, if we can realize that, that's where we want to be. Do we have the mind of Philip to focus on where God is busy instead of where we want to be busy? Or decide where and when we want to share the gospel? That guy? I don't think he'll ever get saved. She's got so much need. How will she ever be useful to the kingdom? Let's go to the hustle and the bustle. Even though this man was a dignitary, we shouldn't overlook this. And this is what I'm getting towards. We cannot overlook the fact that he was a foreigner. He traveled to Jerusalem, to the temple, to go and worship. Glancing over this, we're going to miss a lot of what Luke is saying in Acts. He's there to worship at the temple. But he's a Gentile. So the Jews would have immediately said, whoa, sir, and not this way. You need to go around. You need to go to the Gentile court. Not here. You're outside. You don't worship with us. But more than that, they would have quoted Deuteronomy 23 verse 1, which says, no one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of God. Clearly there was, yes, you're a Gentile, you're from Ethiopia, you go to the Gentile court, but you know what, you're a eunuch. You should actually not even be in the Gentile court. You're in the outside of the outside. You can't even gather with the assembly. Now imagine that. You walk down here, and someone stops you at that outside door and they say, you know what? It's best to stay outside. We're going to be in here worshiping our God, singing, hearing from the Word, reading, praying. I think you should stay outside. Don't worry, we've got speakers outside. You'll hear the message. But the fellowship, it's not for you. Oh, hang on a second. You're that kind of person. I think you should just go outside the gate. You see that gate? Mr. Security Officer, can you please escort this man and put him out? You are not welcome. Put yourself in those shoes. Sorry, you cannot worship with us today. Get out. This is where this man is. An outsider of the outsiders, cut off from God's worship. Is that what our churches look like these days? Not you. Have you smelt yourself this morning? Why don't you go sit there? Look how you are dressed. I think the outside is better for you. I mean, you've got so many needs. Our church wouldn't be able to take care of you. I think we should exclude you. Do we exclude people according to tradition, or the way they look or speak or even the type of neediness they have? Because then this is what we are doing. But not Philip. In verse 30, we see Philip engaging with this unique message. We see the first engagement between Philip and the eunuch. He runs, he gets behind the coach, and he's like, oh, now I know why the Lord is sending me here. I can hear him read scripture. No way. This is getting too easy. He's reading. But it's very intentional. The Spirit moves and he moves Philip, but he also starts moving in this man's heart. Because Philip asks him, Mr. Ethiopian, do you understand what you are reading? It's a brilliant evangelistic tool, by the way. No. How can I if nobody explains it to me? These are just words. It's a historical book, right? About a man. Who is this man? Why don't you just jump up, sit here next to me? Philip's like, what? This is getting way too easy. Okay, gets onto the chariot, sits next to the Ethiopian, and he says, explain this to me. I can't do this. And what does Philip do? He opens his mouth, and he explains these words. This Ethiopian providentially reads Isaiah 53, verse 7. And he asks, please explain this to me. But now the tension builds. Because I don't know about you, but the prophets are kind of difficult, right? But Philip, he opens his mouth and he's like, man, God, you've sent me to this one man. He invites me up. He invites me to explain the scriptures to me. And now the tension. Will Philip explain Isaiah to this man? Philip opens his mouth and he explains the good news of Jesus to this outsider of outsiders. Philip is sharing a unique message to a unique man. What is this message Philip is sharing with him from Isaiah 53 verse 7? It talks about the lamb that was slaughtered. The lamb who did not open his mouth. The lamb who was humiliated. And this man, he's like, no way. There's another man like me that can identify with me. Humiliation, can't speak up, outsider of the outsiders, cut off from worship. But this man does not know Jesus. He's just, oh, this man was humiliated. This man. Who is this man? He doesn't know Jesus from Isaiah. But Philip knows the word. Philip knows the prophets. But most of all, Philip knows Jesus. Isn't this glorious? It's a glorious life-giving message. Can I share with you who Jesus is? Just like Philip. This man imagines a man that can identify with him. For the first time, someone can identify with the human race. This man from Isaiah experienced what we all experience. Humiliation. Being cut off. Being excluded. And this man sees this. But Philip wouldn't have stopped there. So I can't either. This man is not just identifying with you. It's not just any other man. It is Jesus. A couple of years earlier, Mr. Ethiopian, this man really lived. This man was truly cut off. This man was humiliated. And this man did not open his mouth to defend himself. And thank God for that. He was sinless. Yet he did not open his mouth to defend himself. Why? For you. For you to be included in the household of God. Philip wouldn't have just said, this man identifies with you. Philip would have shown him Christ that was slaughtered for sinners, that was excluded for sinners, that was humiliated for sinners, that kept his mouth for sinners. This is the Lamb. And because of this, Mr. Ethiopian, brother, sister, Jesus, who identified with you through his death, burial, and resurrection, his humiliation, his slaughtering, you can be included. Jesus was despised and rejected. He was cut off. He was humiliated to become a friend of sinners. We see this glorious gospel message of Jesus identifying with this man. But I need to pause here and just say that Jesus didn't just identify. He didn't just come and say, okay, I'm Jesus and I identify with you. He could have, but he went further. He came to serve, not to be served. He came to identify, but he also had a job to do. And that's what Philip was sharing. He came to die for sinners like us. But just like the Ethiopian eunuch couldn't just identify with Jesus or have faith in Jesus, because we know a lot of people have faith. I have faith in myself. I have faith in my job. I have faith in my resources, my money, my personality. You need to have faith not only in Jesus, but also in what he has done for you. Jesus is this Lamb that was slain. You need to put your faith in this Lamb, in Jesus Christ, that died for your sin. That is what saved. Faith comes by hearing and understanding the word of God. And Philip knew this. And he says, Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, I'm going to share this glorious message with you. And you can be included in the household of God. You were excluded, but through this man, you can experience to come in. You were the outer of the outsiders, but now you're inside. You're not only included into the assembly, but inclusion into the presence of the Holy God, the Holy of Holies. That's what we experience, brothers and sisters, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We experience this, being included in the assembly. We can approach the throne of grace. We can approach God himself, the one that says, if you see me, you will surely die. That God, through Jesus, we can approach with boldness. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that glorious? That today you can approach the Holy of Holies because of Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, that was kept quiet. This is as simple as it gets. And this is the glorious news that we are encouraged to share. I'm very privileged to have prepared this sermon, hearing that it's Outreach Sunday. Can I encourage you to do that? It's as simple as this. Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, that kept quiet, that was humiliated for sinners like you and I. Why? To bring us in, into the Holy of Holies, to give hope to the outsiders, so that they can enjoy this, the church, the body, and Jesus. I can imagine Philip didn't just jump off the coach or chariots like, okay, I'm done. Off he goes. Because Mr. Ethiopian eunuch, he just experienced in Jerusalem being excluded. Now this new thing, okay, I'm included, but I still sit with a problem. I bet you Philip would have encouraged him. Because in a couple of chapters, probably 3.5 chapters in Isaiah 56, verse 3, it talks about this Lamb in Isaiah 53 fulfilling, and then it literally says, eunuchs should not be excluded. Isaiah 56, 3-4. So Jesus, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, in all their wisdom, wrote the book, Isaiah, through his prophet. He says, because of the Lamb, Isaiah 53. Now eunuchs, Isaiah 56, cannot, shall not be excluded. And he's reading that book. Brother, sister, people should not be excluded. God wants to save people. He wants to use you and me to share a simple gospel message to include people into the kingdom. The gospel breaks all walls of exclusion down. Christ is inviting people into worship as long as they put their faith in what he has done. Through his wounds and his humiliation, he welcomes people into worship. Imagine that. The God that speaks through things into existence. Let there be light. Poof. Let there be trees. Poof. Let us create man in our image. The God who says, if you see me, you die. That God says, come. The one that said at Mount Zion, do not even touch the mountain. That same God is telling us now, come, here I am. Through Christ, you can worship me. I believe that is why Jesus got so angry when he whipped people out of the temple. Because of this. Because he quotes Isaiah 56 verse 7. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for what? For all nations. Mark 11, 17. That's what he says. Why are you excluding people? I'm a great God. I'm so great that I need millions and millions and millions of people to worship me. I want them to worship me. It's ironic how the people did not believe Isaiah 53 verse 7 was fulfilled by Jesus. And that's why they still excluded people. Brother, sister, don't let it be said of us. People need to hear Jesus in him crucified. Why? So that they can come in and worship our great God. He deserves all our worship. It's when people identify with Christ that they come in and be part of the family. Scripture shows us this, and we need to show them Scripture. We need to show them Jesus, John 12, 21. But put yourself in this unique man's shoes. One being excluded, cut off from worship, but now he understands the truth of Jesus, and he's included in worship. Imagine you're outside the fence and someone comes in and says, today is your turn. Come in, sit right here and worship with us. Why? I want to tell you why. Because of Jesus. Really? I'm included? I'm included in all of this? Yes. Because you believe in Jesus and what he has done for you, you are one of us. More than that, you are one of Jesus' children. And what happens? And I'm thankful I'm in a Baptist church here. Philip speaks. The eunuch believes. And he says, what prevents me? I'm going to jump in water. And all the Baptist says, yes. No. But this man wanted to identify with his Savior. You mean this man called Jesus did this a couple of years ago? And he chose me to be part of the kingdom? How can I identify with my Savior? We don't know what Peter says, but we know what the whole of Acts says. People who believe, they repent and they are baptized. And this eunuch says, I want to be baptized. Stop. Halt. There's water. I want to get dunked. I want to identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, being washed away, all my sins being washed away. I want to be with him. We don't know what Philip said, but we assume that that's what happened because they all both went into the water and Philip baptized this man. Brother, sister, can you see that a changed heart means a changed person, a complete new identity? This man didn't add Jesus to his current state. He wanted to identify with Christ. I want to be like him. I'm going to lay everything aside. I want to be baptized and identify with my Savior. Now, this is a beautiful message that we should hold on to. But can I encourage you this morning? Don't just hold on to it for yourself. Go out and get more people. Share this glorious news of Jesus to a bunch of new people, that you can be saved by putting your faith in Christ. But then you need to adopt Christ as your new identity. It's not to go for plastic surgery, getting some injections to look more like, I don't know what, getting all kinds of procedures done, or jump on your Instagram or Twitter. I don't have any of that, so apologize my ignorance. But I know something about filters. A post and you make yourself look different than what you really look like. That's not what we're talking about here. Christ wants you. In your sinful state, He wants you to bow the knee. Put your faith in Jesus Christ as the Spirit leads, as we see from Acts. And then you will naturally, supernaturally change. Because when Christ gets hold of your heart, you will change. But not by your power, by His power. And you will identify with Christ. And what happens? And we see this. Verse 39. We see both men, the unique man, leaving with joy. I was sad. I couldn't even go in and worship. But now you tell me that I can come to this great man anytime, anywhere, even now in my chariot? Yep, that's it. That's how you worship Him. You don't even have to come to Jerusalem ever again. Just stay in Ethiopia and worship this great God. What? Yep. Well, that would turn him into a joyful man. The gospel changed his heart. He's got a newfound identity in Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the fact that he is now included in God's family, the kingdom. God, the Spirit, gives salvation that produces great salvation joy. If you are in a dark place, come to Jesus. Find your great salvation joy, knowing that He has saved you. But then we see Philip. What does he do? I'm not addressing the whole ninja dust, and he's gone. That's for Clinton to sort out. But what do we see? The Spirit again engaging. What does he do? He finds himself in another place. What, to retire? No, to carry on with the gospel work. The Spirit moves Philip to a new location to continue the gospel work. Can you see salvation brings joy, but also salvation brings a job? Brother, sister, if you have experienced the salvation joy, becoming part of God's family, you're in Philip's shoes. Now you need to carry on with the gospel message. Philip is carrying on with God's work. So if you are not in the family, can I encourage you to seek this salvation joy? If you have found the salvation joy, can I encourage you this morning to carry on so that others can get the salvation joy like Philip? We see these two beautiful pieces of fruit from salvation through the Spirit, bringing salvation joy and bringing a salvation work to carry on. What great comfort do we see in the Spirit's divine work? He gives one man joy through salvation and empowers another man to continue with this work. I want to encourage you this morning. Open your mouth and share a simple life-giving word. Like the soccer team, will you be that one captain that goes to this one person that was excluded and not picked, and you say, "You're in my team." Jesus Christ identified with humanity to save them and include them into His team. Remember, we were all dead. Nobody wants a dead person on their soccer team. Jesus does. He said, I'm going to make you alive and I will choose you and invite you in to play on my team. But remember, then there's a job. You need to play on his team and share this glorious, life-giving, life-changing gospel message. Remember this account of the unique message to a unique man so that you will carry on with the work of including all people who has put their trust in Jesus, who God wants in his kingdom. Let us pray. Oh God, what a privilege it is to hear the gospel afresh. We thank you, Jesus, for being that man who was humiliated, who was silent, who was slaughtered for our life. We praise you that you made us alive. And we pray that you would help us now to continue with this glorious, life-giving message for your glory and honor and for the expansion of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.